Okay, guys, this is kind of a broad topic.
Broad like vast, not broad like female.
A broad topic, nice.
Please press our shrink phones to give us strength in our bodies.
Hello and welcome to Bless the Refreshments, where normal people have normal conversations about the gospel, making it way more fun and interesting to be a member of the church. So this week is an interesting episode for me, because Burgess and Tyson were very excited about it. And I, honestly, was a little hesitant. We're talking about fasting. And I know it's not the most controversial topic we've chatted about, but it's something that, quite honestly, I've lost some gusto about, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in the episode. So I'm really glad we chatted about it. What fasting is, the doctrine and principles behind it, and what really gives it power. Well, Burgess and Tyson talk about it really well, and I listen. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Excellent. Excellent. So, I don't know, where do we want to start? Burgess, you take it away.
Well, it's appropriate because this is Lent. This is the season of Lent.
Oh, it is Lent.
Yeah. So, as we understand it today, it is a very personal thing, but just like how missionaries teach it is, we fast for two meals. So, we go without food and water, two meals, 24 hours. So, like, for example, you eat dinner and then you don't eat again until the next day's dinner. And right. That's when you break your fast. The most important part of it is that you're fasting with some sort of intention. So you're not just going without food and water, but there is a specific prayer in your heart or in a group's heart if you're fasting with other people that you would like or need answered, something that's been either bothering you or if you're fasting for somebody else. It's only effective if you have that intention and you keep that intention in your heart for the whole time fasting. Going along with that, we do fast offerings. And so the tradition is whatever money you would have spent on those meals, you give as a fast offering. However, that's a very general way of putting it. It's just a generous fast offering that would that money goes to the poor or to the needy, to whoever needs it. It doesn't go to any of the church buildings or temple buildings or anything like that. It goes to people that need the money. That just encompasses the humility of fasting.
It's very interesting. There is one thing that is present on the earth as a commandment whenever the gospel has been present, and that is to care for the poor and the needy. That's an integral part of the gospel. And that is the reason, I guess the prime reason why we fast, is to care for our fellow men, to observe the second commandment. And so primarily, that is to make us aware and empathetic with those around us who stand in need. Because, so as an example, so right now, and this will tell what a bad dad I am, because I haven't gone this far yet, although I tell you, my guilt is eating at me.
I see what you did there. Eating.
Yeah.
Guilt is eating at you.
Yeah,
I see.
Right.
Yeah.
I can't wait to judge you on how bad of a dad you are.
So, and this is hard for me because I love to bake, but we suspect that my daughter is having a little bit of a negative reaction to gluten.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's fine. You know, she's having some allergies and headaches and things like that. So we just think a little experiment on her diet would give us some insight into what might be wrong. So we're doing a trial just to clean her system out of gluten and see if that helps. So as of a couple of days ago, she's gone without gluten. And Springer has decided that she's going to do it with her so that it's not like I'm just telling you to do this and while the rest of us just eat cookies or whatever. But I haven't gone that far yet. Now, I'm not like trying to like rub it in or anything, obviously, but she's really, I think, going the extra mile and saying, well, I'm going to walk this journey with you, right? I'm going to be with you while you're doing it. When it becomes really hard and you really want to give up on it, I'm going to be there suffering with you and we can kind of build each other up and do it together, right? I think of fasting in some ways as being the same as that. So I am going to go without voluntarily so that I can more truly and completely empathize with what you're going through, and then offer to help in the Lord's established channels. And one of the things that I've been privileged to be part of in my calling is to have more of a firsthand knowledge of what happens with those funds and how they're distributed and for what reasons and who, you know, who and what they're helping with. And they're so varied. I mean, I obviously can't say anything specific, but like the circumstances are as varied in this as the stars in the sky. There's all kinds of circumstances. And I will tell you, there's all kinds of need. Seeing those funds go to that use, and then in addition to all of the big picture stuff that we kind of know about, humanitarian aid, we've got a war going on in Ukraine right now that the church is obviously, shifting funds to and trying to help with the humanitarian efforts there and those types of things. And there's just all these big picture stuff that we all know about, but there's also this micro local community stuff that our dollars are really going 100% to help. It's just a really amazing thing to see firsthand. And I wish everyone could see that. I want everyone to know that those dollars are not going to waste. They're truly helping people with problems that you don't see and that they don't talk about. And it's a really special thing.
I'd love to chat a little bit more about fast offerings and how they're processed, how they're separate. So like, again, I've never been a clerk or in the bishopric where I'm handling those funds. And I think that's maybe even less now because a lot of the donations are online. Can you talk a little bit more about, again, handling those sacred funds of fast offerings and tithing and things like that?
I think I can say some general things. So that there's several, and I'm probably going to get it wrong because I'm doing it from memory. But there's a few very common categories of fast offerings. And then there's essentially one marked other, right? Okay. And that kind of is a catch-all for things that aren't encompassed in, the most common needs. So, food, highly common, right? Putting in an order to the bishop's storehouse is one of the most common ways that people are helped, which is not a small thing. The other thing that is one of the categories is housing. And so if someone's, goes through an unfortunate, time for something or other, then sometimes the bishop will help them with their housing needs or what have you. Sometimes it's a deposit to get into an apartment if they can't afford it or, something like that. It just depends on the situation. Medical is another big one. Someone falls on a very unexpected medical need or a catastrophic medical need, then that's another. Or that also could be, potentially need to see a therapist, or, they might be going through some kind of abuse. You just never know. I mean, there's all kinds of situations, and I'm just spouting off nothing in particular, just things that those things could cover. And there's also just all kinds of miscellaneous other expenses that, they might have a small need here or there that the bishop feels inspired to help with, things like that. And so those are the types that, fast offerings can, go to all those types of humanitarian type need. And then as a church, obviously they go to, if there's a hurricane someplace and the community is largely, hit, or if there's like a war, and there's a humanitarian need, all of those things are appropriate expenditures of fast offerings. But it starts really with the bishop. And if a member comes to a bishop with a need, he's got to seek out the Spirit and say, okay, is this an appropriate use of the Lord's funds? And then if it is, he instructs his counselors and clerk to execute the transaction. And that's kind of how the process works.
That's interesting. I'm really eager to jump into the applications and the blessings and how we make fasting more powerful. Because I'll be honest, I know you two have a very you know, powerful testimony of fasting. I feel like fasting for me has kind of lost its oomph in the past few years, maybe for me. And it comes down to one, I'm just Sundays for me have become less worshipful because of the stress of getting kids to church and whatnot. But for the past like 6-7 months or so, like if I fast without water, or if I get too dehydrated, which I generally feel like I'm doing so around 3:30 around my fast, I start getting a migraine. Like it's almost on cue. So like I feel like I've been doing things to mitigate that, like loading up on water the night before. But like I said, I feel like it's kind of taken the oomph out of my fasting. So I'm eager to get the spirit of fasting back through this conversation, at least part way. So if you guys don't ignite a testimony of fasting over the next however long we're talking, in me, I'm going to consider it a failure.
So raising the stakes on us. I like it.
So tell me, what has made fasting so impactful for you? Again, maybe when you were younger in your testimonies to now.
I gained a testimony of fasting it was on my mission. It was the latter half of my mission. So, you know, I had been a member about 2.5 years, and I had fasted just out of obedience and just kind of went through the motions of it. But then the mission president asked us to fast on a P day. And we were hanging out with some other elders, and like, I want to be clear. Like I wasn't a super obedient missionary. I wasn't apostate, but I also wasn't like strictly following all the rules. Like, I think we've established that before. But none of the elders that I was with wanted to fast on P day, and they're like, oh, we'll fast another day. But for some reason I was like, no, I think I'm going to fast with the mission.
Nice.
Normally I would have gone with the other elders and been like, we'll just do another day. It's P day. We were going to go get donuts.
P day is like the day you go and like get something really good to eat.
Right. Too. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, there's no work to do. So you just go. Yeah. You go and basically eat all day is what we did.
Yeah, for sure.
we were in Missouri. We went and had ribs and stuff.
Oh, man.
But
yeah, we'd go to Chinatown in Yokohama and get like just these amazing Chinese buffets, dude.
Yeah.
So I get what you're sacrificing that one day.
But and I don't know what it was. I mean, obviously it was the Holy Ghost. But like, so they, none of them fasted. I was the only. So there were four of us there. I was the only one that fasted. And I spent my morning study just studying fasting. And there was one scripture that I read. It's in 3 Nephi chapter 13, 16 through 18. So this is essentially, it's also in Matthew. I think it's like the Sermon on the Mount,
yeah,
basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I read that scripture. I really felt the Spirit in it. So I'm like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fast for, I don't even remember what the mission intention was that we were fasting for, but I said, okay, I'm going to fast. I'm going to think, I'm going to remember the mission's intention, and I'm going to be happy about it. Like, I'm going to be glad that I'm fasting. And I just kind of had that attitude all day. And when it says reward thee openly, like I didn't get any tangible reward, but I can't tell you how much I was filled with the Spirit that day. Like I was happy all day. Like there was a sense of joy that I had never felt before. I never even like wanted to break my fast early. It was really weird. Like I didn't even care that the other elders weren't fasting. It was just one of those things. It's like, I remember it was about 4 o'clock that I hadn't eaten yet. And one of the other elders was like, wow, you're like, he said something like, wow, you masochist or something like that. Like, you know, was making a joke about it. And I was like, honestly, I'm having a great time, you know, it was just that change of attitude that I was like, man, there is something to this. And mm-hmm. that's when I like, and I always remember that. And that was really when my testimony really started, and I knew there was something to it. And so ever since then, when I fast, like I can really feel it, and I can really feel the joy in it still. And just I want to read the blessings of fasting from Isaiah. This is Isaiah 58. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. So it's like that. I read that on that day too. And I'll always go back to that scripture, because it's like, that's what fasting is.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it talks about the blessings. It talks about reaching out to the poor, and it says what the Lord will do. Like most things, we get caught up in the details of, like, you know,
how long,
right. Like, how long should I, like, is it okay to drink water? Is it okay to chew gum? Like, those are extremely minor, and they're extremely personal. Like it's all about your intention. Right. And I've really felt the power of fasting in unity. That was the first time with like, I felt it with the mission, but I fasted with wards, you know, when either people were sick. I fasted with my family. Like, we've asked my family to fast. You can feel the power when everybody's doing it together. Like, you can really mm-hmm. feel it. But it just, so like, if I had any advice to anybody, it would be like, don't worry about how you do it. Just worry about the why, and mm-hmm. really keep that in your heart all day, and or the your for your entire fast, and you're gonna notice a difference. Like, just it's if all you're thinking about is your prayer, like you're really gonna notice a difference.
For sure. I like how you say that. In Doctrine and Covenants 59, it says, and on this day thou shalt do none other thing, only let thy food be prepared with singleness of heart, that thy fasting may be perfect, or in other words, that thy joy may be full. Barely this is fasting and prayer, or in other words, rejoicing and prayer. And in so much as you do these things with thanksgiving, with cheerful hearts and countenances, but not with much laughter, for this is a sin, but with a glad heart and a cheerful countenance, verily I say unto you, verily I say that inasmuch as ye do this, the fullness of the earth is yours. I like how, in verse 14, it says that this is fasting and prayer, or in other words, rejoicing in prayer. Here, yeah. Those two words are synonymous. They're interchangeable. That right. As you fast with singleness of heart, like you said, keeping that one thing in mind, and just the idea of, hey, I want to get close to the Lord, and this is what I'm sacrificing to do so, that fasting should be rejoicing, which I think is what I'd like to strive for, at least in preparation for this episode. That's, I'm like, oh, okay, I think there's some things that I can do to be better, that I can have these types of blessings.
One of the things that I think is interesting about fasting is that I know of nothing in the church or in the gospel program that can bring spiritual power to an individual other than fasting. When you fast, your prayers become more urgent. Your intention becomes more pure. Because it's interesting. There's a lot of things in the church that you can say, and it's even said so in the scriptures, that you could say is done for show, right? Or, you know, done out of like pressure or something like that. I would make an argument that we don't talk about fasting very much in the church these days. And if someone doesn't fast, no one's going to ask. If you're fasting, that is one of the most pure, unselfish, unhypocritical things that you can do, because no one's ever going to know that except the Lord, right?
Granted, you don't have, what is it? Sad countenances, right?
Yeah. Obviously there's, you know, there's precedent for that. But I guess what I'm getting at is that you know, it's really one of those things that it's just between you and the Lord, right? And whether you gain anything from it or whether it's a waste of your time is really up to the effort and the intention that you put into it. But I'll tell you, nothing brings spiritual confidence and power into fasting, into your life, like fasting does. So I really feel like if you want answers to your prayers at a fast, that adds a lot of spiritual power and weight to what you're asking for. So I know that all the time I see fasting happen for if there's some kind of pressing decision, whether that be in your church calling, whether that be in your life, you know, your employment, your family, the need of a loved one. If you stand in need of an answer and you stand in need of help, fasting is the conduit to achieve that. And we saw that as an example when the pandemic started. How many worldwide fasts did our prophet call for? And it's interesting. I say power, but what does fasting instill in our soul? It instills a spirit of repentance, and repentance brings power. And it is my belief that the prophet was calling the world to repentance and giving them an opportunity to call upon the powers of heaven if they would repent and fast and call on the Lord.
I really like how you put that. A lot of times we have when somebody says repent, we kind of get the wrong idea. Like it stabs us a little bit. Like, what? I'm not a bad person. I don't need, but it's like, it's not about that. It's like what the repentance that comes with fasting is it's the admittance that the Lord is in control. You know, it's an outward expression of showing the Lord that he's in control. That's what repentance is. It's giving up that control and showing the Lord that he's in control.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, like, so you're having to give up something, right?
Right.
And really what you're giving up, which has a lot of gospel precedent, is your will.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You're giving up your will and for some of the most basic things, right? Food and water is a very basic human need, but with that comes power. So as an example, Christ fasted and went into the wilderness to be with God. And during the course of that time, he was tempted of the adversary. Because he was fasting, along with many other things, I'm assuming, but one of the things that he gained from fasting was the power to overcome the adversary that was going to come tempting him. And so for us, when the adversary comes for us, when we have observed the law of the fast, that comes with power to overcome. And the Lord does not forget the sacrifice that you've made.
And I think it's interesting, a couple, at least in a number of instances in the scriptures, where when people fast, it's generally not a one-time thing. You know, Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I was reading some verses in Exodus 38, where this is the second time that the Lord gives him the Ten Commandments, because the first time he threw the tablets down when Aaron built the golden calf. So he's giving him the Ten Commandments again. And he said that he was with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat and he did not drink. Right. Alma says that he had to fast many days that these things may be known unto him. So I think that while, you know, fasting is, you can gain tangible blessings and real blessings by doing it, you know, once, but to me, it seems like as though an attitude of consistency builds muscle. To me, it's kind of like working out, right? You know, you fast once and that's good. You work out once, that's great. It will definitely do you no harm, but to get, I think that fasting, just like prayer, just like showing faith, takes practice, and consistent effort is one thing that I think shows a lot of power, at least in these instances in the scriptures.
Well, and that's with everything, right? I mean,
yeah, sure.
With the same thing with fasting, the same thing with Sabbath observance, mm-hmm. the same thing with reading scriptures and prayer, you know, that the Lord commands us to be constant unto him. And that comes with time, right? I mean, we all kind of come along that path, but it gets to a point, and I think for those that might have a hard time seeing how this might apply to them, I think you're going to be surprised when you get to a point where you just don't feel right, not praying regularly, not fasting once a month, not reading your scriptures every day. You know, when you go along that path, it kind of ingrains in you that spirit and you become dependent on it. And you see the benefits and you see the good it does and you see the change that's coming over you, and you just don't have the desire to do the things that you did before. You actually, you know, I've even got to the point where things that I once loved, like, really just like make me sick to my stomach. It's really strange and unexpected sometimes, the change that comes over you when you start really applying the principles of the gospel in your life.
I mean, it's becoming a new creature, right? Yeah. I mean, it can be quite literal, the person you were before, even down to tastes and habits, right?
Yeah.
Look, you know, are completely changed just when we yoke ourselves to the Lord. I would say to anybody that doesn't have, like you said, that doesn't feel like they have a testimony of fasting, is just keep doing it with the right intention. You know, I've said this before, but this is one of those things that I have gone beyond belief now, that it's one of the few things I can say that I know that fasting is a true principle. I know it's a principle from God, and I know that it works. I don't have any doubt in my mind. To go along with that, fast offerings, I also have a huge testimony of. When we were actually recipients of fast offerings at one time, it was an incredibly humbling experience. And I was actually, it was when I was in the ward in Bountiful. When we were going through the toughest time, Bishop Hawks, he committed us to give an extra 20% in fast offerings.
Interesting.
He said, like, specifically, he's having this impression that he should commit us to paying an extra 20% in fast offerings. And we did. And like, I wrote a letter that I never mailed. I ended up just talking to him face to face about it and told him straight out that I credit a lot that commitment to most of the reason why we have this house, you know, why we have our house today, and why we got in a much better financial situation is that commitment. And I thanked him for, you know, following the Spirit and committing us to that. And so I have 100% testimony that fasting is a principle from God, that it works, and that fast offerings bring true blessings to your life that can very much be tangible. You know, the spiritual power and stuff will come, absolutely, but there can be some great, they're tangible blessings that come directly from that.
Well, and let's take that maybe a little bit further and maybe a little bit more fundamental. I think all of us need to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, do I believe what I say I believe? Because sometimes I think we just get in the habit of doing things, and we don't really face that question, right?
Especially when everyone is doing things, like we're all fast. Well, the majority of us are fasting on Fast Sunday.
Are we?
We just kind of do it. I mean, that's what we kind of is like when we're doing it together. More people are doing it. I should do it too. It's out of routine. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. And I agree with that. You know, when it's kind of becomes a group activity, you can kind of start to do things because, I love these people and they're all doing it and I want to be part of them, you know, and stuff like that. But to me, all blessings are tangible, right? But to your point, Burgess, when you realize that, that's really something in your soul, right?
Yeah.
When you see that blessing that you've been looking for actually come to pass, that's something, you know, and that can change you. When you start to see the mechanism, or, you know, in another word, when the Lord pulls back the curtain for a moment and shows you how this thing works, that's a real testimony builder, right? Because initially you have to take it on faith. You have to say, I do believe I'm going to receive a blessing from the Lord. or that I'm somehow helping him with his work or, you know, bringing to pass his purposes. But I don't really see that. Eventually, you will see it. But if you don't consistently put forth that effort and do the things that the Lord asks, you won't get to that point. Right. And so we have to start with that particle of faith. And over time, those things will be manifest to you. And you'll have the testimony that Burgess is talking about. But it's hard because sometimes we just give up too soon.
I think the reason that fasting comes with so much power is that because when we're fasting, we're paying more attention to those things, to those to the mechanism. We're paying attention to the spirit. And it's, I think that's a lot of where the power comes or where the testimony building comes from, is that when we're fasting, you know, you can literally feel it in your body. Like you're hungry. And I think that makes us pay attention more, especially well, and with the intention in our heart, like with the prayer, like if you keep it in your heart all day, you're going to be paying attention to the spiritual things, you know, and you're going to be able to see those mechanisms much clearer. And that's just going to build your testimony as, you know, the more you do it.
And I think that the intent, doing things intentionally, is when I think that that has power, no matter what you do in the gospel. And I think that the times that I have had special fasts, like when I've had times where I needed to fast during the week, or when I'm not fasting just on Fast Sunday, I think that those have been the more powerful ones that I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to just fast on Fast Sunday, right? Right. You know, there's been, and sometimes it'll be a, you know, spur of the moment thing. I had Truman Madsen came and talked to our singles area when I was in Michigan, and he said he fasted every week when he got called as a patriarch. And he actually attributed that because he was a pretty tall, skinny man, actually. and he says that that's pretty much wise, because I fast every week before I give patriarchal blessings. And I can understand why, because you're like, I'm going to affect this person's or my ability and worthiness to receive the word of the Lord is going to affect this person's life, right? They're going to look back on this blessing all the time, looking for direction and answers. And so I can't be unprepared to receive that. And I think it's a big thing. And also, I mean, we might not feel like that all the time, but there's going to be times in life where we're going to think, I can't screw this up. You know, David seems to be a pretty suitable example here. I've got one shot. And I've got to hit him square in the forehead, right? How many of us have that kind of accuracy in anything? And so when precision counts, you need help, because, you know, the human error is too great. You know, you need divine help. And so when something has to happen, and it's a righteous desire, or it's something that you're, you know, you've built a good spiritual foundation and wanting to achieve and have the faith and have a good sense that it's the Lord will that something should happen in some fashion, you know, and then you accompany that with fasting and spiritual power. Oh my gosh, there's nothing that can't happen. But, you know, it's, and I think too, that those things are designed into our lives so that we'll learn to rely on the Lord. And we'll also be more converted to the gospel, because we know that when those things align, when the will of the Lord aligns with the righteous desires of our hearts, nothing is insurmountable. And we receive greater abilities and capacity than we know we don't have on our own. I mean, there's just no denying that when you're able to do something that you know you have no business being able to do. I think that we all have those experiences from time to time, and it's not to tear yourself down. It's to say that God is with you and allows you to be an instrument in His hands to do great things.
One thing that Amy's been doing for a little while now is that she'll take fast Sunday fasts and fast for more of a cause that we know that we don't have a whole lot of power to control. Like for example, like this, you know, this fast Sunday, she'll be fasting for the people in Ukraine. You know, we can't affect that situation much on our own at all. You know, so she would use the fast Sunday fast for that. You know, she's fasted for moms giving birth in Haiti, you know, things like that. Like, and then a lot of our family fasts are the personal fast. She'll fast for on, you know, through the week, not on fast Sunday. Just a way of like, it's just a way of intentionally making like things more personal and it's a different way of thinking about it. It's by no means am I saying like that's, you know, that's what everybody should do, but it's just like, it's just a way of making fasting her own, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's really the way to look at it is there's so many times where we can get into those rote habits and everybody else is doing it. I know like we do it out of obedience and stuff, but when we do things that really make it our own, you know, that's when we're going to see those personal blessings.
I like that this conversation is going into making fasting personal and not just obviously like what you're fasting for, but even the method by which you do so. Because I remember when I was on a mission, so this is a while ago, I think it was, it had to have been the October conference of 2004. And there was a member of the 70 who got up and said as a stand, he's like, as the church gives no, said something like the church gives no recommendations on how you should fast, except that it should be for 24 hours. I was like, I don't think the church has said that ever. I mean, you can say that it's implied by saying, you know, if you start dinner, you should skip breakfast, lunch, and then go to dinner, which should take you to 24 hours, right? Again, that was like the first time that I felt like fasting had ever been, you have to do it this specific way, other than, you know, like two meals, no food or drink for two meals. But I really felt like, and again, I've looked at different things in the handbook. It says nothing about 24 hours, just that it should be for two meals. And it feels like the church is leaving it up to us as to how to tailor it to ourselves, and our needs. How have you guys gone about, deciding what you're going to fast for or making things more intentional and personalized to you?
I think one thing I'd like to mention is, along this lines, is how do we talk to our children about fasting? And I think it's interesting because no child that I know of wants to go without food for any amount of time, right? And so...
Except for when it's dinner time.
Well, except when we make it.
Well, that's the thing. Like even when it's dinner time, it's not that they don't want to eat. It's just that they just want to go straight to dessert, right?
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, but here's what I'll say. I think whatever someone wants to give for a fast is absolutely wonderful. Instill the spirit of the fast in someone and let them decide for themselves how they're going to go about it. And I think that it's not, even though we do a lot of this in the church, the spirit's the one that teaches.
Yep.
Right? It's not me teaching. You know, if I can say someone that allows the spirit to work on someone in a particular way, I think that's great. I'm happy to be a part of it, but the spirit's the one that's teaching. And so for me, you just give someone the opportunity, give them an example, and then let that process work out. It's going to work out on them for their whole lives, ideally. And as long as you open that up and let that work, I mean, everything else is going to fall into place. So for me, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you're young, you have to be taught everything very specifically.
Right.
And then as you get older, you learn how to teach yourself. It's not exactly one-to-one comparison, but when we're young, we're taught very specific things in a very literal way. As we get older, we have to feel a lot of that out for ourselves based on life situations and the things that present themselves. And also, we're just not handheld as much. Mm-hmm. With different things. And you can see that on a church-wide basis as well. Ministering is one example of that. You know, we were home taught for a long time, and that was very kind of literal and very specific what you were supposed to do. And now it's very much, okay, you guys generally know what we want you to do. We want you to use the Spirit and figure out exactly how to help your families the best. And that is a great life lesson. It's not meat that we should be commanded in all things. So however someone wants to fast, I think is great. And if there's any tweaking or moderation or improvement that needs to happen with that, the Spirit will tell you. And yeah. I'm okay with that.
I by no means am trying to like rag on 24-hour fast. That should not be that. But sure. I think that it's natural tendency to do this a lot is to because I feel like I should be doing things one way. That's the way it should be for everyone, right? And sometimes we tend to, when I say we, I mean not the three of us or you and me. It's, you know, like it's human nature to kind of compare yourself sometimes to how you're doing things and how you perceive whether they're better or not as good as the way other people are doing things. So right. I like that this conversation is turning into, hey, you got to figure it out for yourself. What you do with the Lord is, again, it's in private. It should be between you and the Lord.
Yeah. And I don't mind having certain like specifics out there.
Sure.
You know, like we say that the 2 minute, like especially when you're just starting to build a testimony, right, or something, mm-hmm, like you're, yeah, saying, mm-hmm, like, yeah, what, hey, I want to do this, how do I do this, like, and then you give those kind of specifics. But like you said, Tyson, as along the way that the Spirit teaches and you tweak and stuff, and as long as the spirit of it stays the most important thing, like I think those specifics can be a great benefit. With our kids, we tell them when we're fasting, and we ask them if they want to fast with us. If they, you know, yes, great. No, fine. That's fine. It's your choice. Or we'll say like, how do you want to just fast breakfast? You know, you don't have to fast both meals. Do you just want to fast breakfast, or do you want to fast something? And sometimes they do. Sometimes they pick something that they want to fast. Freddie has fasted with this once for all 2 meals, which is big for him. But he's done 1 meal a few times. The other kids they've picked something they want to fast. And as far as making it personal to me, the one thing that I try to do, I don't know if this is a common thing. Like has anybody said to you, like when you feel your stomach rumble, that's reminding you to pray? Have you ever heard that before? Like
surprise me someone said that to you.
Right, yeah, like I've always done that now. Like it reminds me of my intention. So I like, mm-hmm, that, but the thing that I like to do is I try not to take a nap when I'm fasting. I don't want to make the sound like, because taking a nap would be cheating, but like I want to feel my fast. Right. Like I feel like the intention is strong enough. Like, and that's just one way that I want to show that is that I want to feel my fast. So I'll try to do things that I can, you know, whether it's, whether it's spending time with the family, whether it's, you know, Amy and I have done indexing, whatever it is, just doing something that, so I stay awake and I can feel the intention the entire fast. Right. I have napped. I'm not going to say it's perfect at it, but like that's one thing that I feel like that has made it personal to me is that one intention of trying to feel the fast for the entire time. You know,
it's great. Again, I like that the intention is finding joy, yeah, out of fasting, because what determines a good fast is not necessarily maybe what you do, but again, what you get out of it. And that what you should get out of it is joy. Again, in back in the Doctrine and Covenants in 59, in section 59, where it says that thy fasting may be perfect, or in other words, that your joy may be full. So if fasting isn't joyful for you, you've got to do something else. You know, you've got to tweak it to make sure that your fasting is perfect, or that your joy is full.
Or you've just got to do it more.
That could be the thing you need to tweak. Yeah, for
sometimes,
sure.
Sometimes change is painful. So just because something is difficult, I wouldn't let that dissuade you from continuing to do it. Lots of things that are worthwhile are difficult at first, and they can persist that way for a long time. You know, and this is something I find myself in when I'm trying to master something. You know, I'll often get discouraged at the beginning because I'm not as good at it as I want to be.
Right.
And so it's something that sometimes you just have to work through and lean into a little bit, and eventually you'll get there. But that's when the example comes into play. You see people around you that have that testimony, and you can kind of look at them and say, oh, I want to get, it's kind of like, you know, I play a sport and I'm not very good, but look at that professional athlete and look at all that they can do. And if I work really hard, I could, you know, get a lot better just like they did, or something like that. And so, you know, the church is a lot like that. You know, you have examples that you look up to and say, okay, this person is at a higher level than I am, but if I put in a similar effort and work on those things, then I can have that feeling and testimony as well. The difference between, you know, athletics and the church is that it's not exclusionary, right? There's not only room for so many people. Everyone can have those things. And we just need to look to the great examples around us and lean a little bit more on the Spirit to know we're on the right path.
Gonna make a tummy rumbling sound.
What do you think? What makes fasting so powerful for you? What are the things you do to make it more intentional? Or were you a little like me? Did you find some things that you could try to bring that power? If so, what were they? So let us know. Seriously, we haven't heard from anyone in a while, and we miss you. Email us at blessourrefreshments123@gmail.com.
Please bless us to get home safely.